Order, please. The Senate will come to order for the 51st legislative day. Will members please vote to signify their presence in the chambers this morning? The roll shows 18 members present this morning. This morning's chaplain is Senator Coghill. Will all please rise for the invocation.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we give you thanks for this day and for the beginning of a new month. We also ask your gracious Father for all mankind to shed your grace upon this day and your grace upon this Senate. We beseech thee so to rule our hearts that we may continually be led to wise decisions and right actions for the peace and welfare of the people of this wonderful state. Father, lift the heavy laden of labor by your grace as we begin a new day of work to the glory of your name through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Senator Abood, will you lead the chambers in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the certification of the journal, please, for the 50th legislative day.
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 50th legislative day.
Mr. Bajardi, leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 50th legislative day be approved as certified.
Without objection, the Senate journal for the 50th legislative day has been approved by the Senate. Do we have introduction of guests, please? Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam President. It's my honor to introduce a friend of Senator Petula's and mine, a constituent from South Anchorage. He's a leader in the Associate General Contractors, and he's a lifelong Alaskan. He's president of Mount McKinley Fence. And Rich Lindstrom is in the gallery on the far side, and I'd like to welcome him.
Senator Josephson.
Madam President, I'd like to introduce to the body a former member of this body with whom I served. We didn't always agree on minor differences like Martin Luther King and a few other trivial issues. But he is an outstanding Alaskan who made a terrific reputation for himself as a contractor, for his ethics in business, and he was a very courageous member of this body who never gave quarter when it was a matter of principle, and I am very pleased that C.R. Lewis is here today in the gallery behind me.
Senator, as you know, it's customary when a former member comes back to this body that we grant them the privilege of the floor to give us a few words of wisdom or advice. Would you like to say anything to us this morning?
Well, I wish I'd have thought of that. I'd have a real speech prepared. I guess all I can think of offhand is that when Joe said we didn't always agree, I think that might have been the understatement. Sure, a pleasure to be here. Note a few changes. Many of the old faces are gone, but it looks good to me, and I want to congratulate you or whoever is responsible for adding the Pledge of Allegiance to the ceremony. That wasn't here when I was here, and I think it's very nice. Nice to see you.
Thank you, sir. Senator Sturgalewski.
Madam President, I'm delighted to introduce some constituents that you and I share. They're with the ARCO CAP program from District 8, and if they'd stand when I call their names so we could welcome them. Randy Ruderick is here, Vince Whittington, Stephen Darnell, Pamela Jester, Karen Muller, and if I mispronounce that, Karen, you'll have to get to me, John Pullen, Carol Bogart, and Carrie Kimmler. Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Jones.
Madam President, with us today, in the gallery behind me, are some guests from Port of Tacoma. As you may not know, the port handles 65% of the waterborne commerce that comes to Alaska, so it's an important link to for us here in Alaska. It also, the port was a strong supporter, an early supporter, of opening ANWR. With us today, we have Chuck Doan, Assistant Executive Director, please stand, Bob DeWald, Director of Port Development, Rod Kuhn, Director of Port Relations, Phil Lelai, if I pronounce that wrong, Phil, you don't get to me, all right? Look at the size of this guy and you'll know why. He's the ILWU Local 23, and Sherry Gross is a consultant. Please welcome him.
Further introduction, Senator Rohde.
Madam President, in the gallery behind me is a longtime friend, the former business agent of the hotel and restaurant workers, Ruth Callan.
Further introduction, Senator Zara.
Thank you, Madam President. We have just a brief at ease.
Senate will stand at ease. Please. The Senate will come back to order. We are under introduction of guests. Senator Zaroff was seeking the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam President. It's indeed an honor and a privilege to introduce to the body members from the City Council in St. Paul, which is one of the islands out in the Pribilofs that we've been watching with quite a bit of interest with the fishing activity out there. And I'd like to introduce the council members that are here with us today. Mike Zaharoff in the far gallery over there, Edna Kaufman, and Jacob Merkuliev. Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Coghill.
Madam President, it gives me great pleasure today to introduce a couple good old timers that have been in Alaska for a good number of years, the parents of Representative Mike Miller, Con and Nellie Miller over here from North Pole.
Senator Baker.
Thank you very much, Madam President. My pleasure also to introduce a constituent who now lives in Juneau. I don't know if she's still registered in my district or not. I hope so, but she's working down here as a correctional officer at the Lemon Creek Correctional Facility. She's from Tanana. Please help me welcome Darlene Nicolai.
Duncan.
Thank you, Madam President. It's my pleasure to introduce in the gallery behind me a long-time Alaskan also who spent many years, as I recall, working in the governor's mansion up until I think a year or so ago, or perhaps 2 years ago. And it's a pleasure to have her here today, Natalie Hewlett, who's in the gallery.
Senator Curtula.
President, it gives me a pleasure to introduce several people morning. First from Char, Paula Gallagher. And the other members of the family that Senator Coghill didn't have the opportunity of seeing from his location, but Terry Miller's daughter, Jennifer, and Terry Miller.
Further introduction of guests. Further introduction of guests. Messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Madam President.
Do we have messages from the House of Representatives?
Message dated February 29. Dear Madam President, the House has concurred in the Senate amendment to House Concurrent Resolution number 33, thus passing Senate Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution number 33, CNRA, relating to annexations recommended by the Local Boundary Commission. Message dated February 29, 1988. The House has passed and transmitted for consideration Committee Substitute for House Bill number 219, Finance, by the Finance Committee, entitled An Act Transferring and Appropriating Certain Loans, Assets, and Fund Equities to the Student Loan Fund and Providing for an Effective Date.
This will be given a finance referral. It doesn't really have health and education portions to it, Senator Fisher, but if you would like this bill, would you look at this, please, House Bill 219, and tell the chair if you would like an additional referral. It's really technical stuff that the bond market needs for the student loan program. Finance Committee referral.
House Bill number 481 by the Transportation Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Naming the Woodrow Johansson Expressway.
State Affairs, Transportation for referrals.
Those are the House bills this morning.
It brings us to communications. Do we have communications?
There is errata received to a report received earlier in January on non-permanent and emergency employment for 1987 from Diana DeSimone, Director, Division of Personnel in the Department of Administration.
This will be referred to the Labor and Commerce Committee.
Budget and audit reports received from Randy Welker, Legislative Auditor, today. A report on the Department of Natural Resources for the fiscal year ending June 30, 1986, in accordance with Title 24.
This will be referred to the State Affairs Committee.
A report on the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs for the fiscal year ended June 30, in accordance with Title 24.
This will be referred to the State Affairs Committee. The one on Natural Resources will go to the Resources Committee. You reversed them on me. Yeah.
Those are the communications this morning.
Do we have reports of standing committees, please?
The Resources Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 45, encouraging the state to join the Clean Coal Technology Coalition and assist acceptance of state projects in the Clean Coal Technology Program. The majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Coghill, Chairman, concurring Senators Eliason, Sturgiluski, Jaroff, and Duncan. There is a zero fiscal note attached. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 45 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for consideration of the calendar.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 65, Over the Horizon Backscatter Radar Systems. The majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Abood, Chairman, concurring Senators Ewling and Hensley. There is a zero fiscal note attached. The Senate Joint Resolution 65 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Labor and Commerce Committee considered sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 357, exempting certain utilities with no more than 100 subscribers from regulation by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission or a municipality, and providing that the most extensive exemption from regulation applies when more than one exemption is applicable to a utility. The committee reported it back as follows. Senator Kelly, Chairman, and Senator Zemanski signed no recommendation. Senators Fahrenkamp, Ewling, and Eliason signed do pass. There is a zero fiscal note attached. Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 357 has a further referral to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered House Concurrent Resolution Number 36, 20th Annual Girls State. Majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Abood, Chairman, concurring Senators Ewling, Hensley, and Fanning. House Concurrent Resolution Number 36 has no further referral.
The Rules Committee, please.
The State Affairs Committee considered House Concurrent Resolution Number 37, 22nd Annual Boys State, and recommends do pass. The report was signed by Senator Abood, Chairman, concurring Senators Ewling, Hensley, Josephson, and Fanning. House Concurrent Resolution Number 37 has no further referral.
Rules Committee, please.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 420 relating to the curriculum required in public schools, and a majority of the committee recommended calendar. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes and Jones. Senate Bill Number 420 is on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports this morning.
Brings us to reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Brings us to the introduction of Senate resolutions.
There are no resolutions for introduction.
Are there Senate bills for introduction?
There are no Senate bills for introduction.
That brings us to the daily calendar. I know we have one of those.
Yes.
Senate Bill Number 420 by Senator Tula for an act entitled, an act relating to the curriculum required in public schools. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chairman, concurring. Senators Curtula, Jones, and Fanning, zero fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring. Senators Fakes and Jones.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Are there any amendments? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 420 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 420 is before the Senate in final passage. Madam Secretary, will you read the bill?
Senate Bill Number 420, an act relating to the curriculum required in public schools.
Discussion. Senator Curtula.
President of the Senate, my sister married into a family with the father and mother of her husband were both deaf and dumb, and I've had some continuing interest in the subject since that time. They're both employed in newspaper business and work in linotype presses and so on, where noise, in fact, made it very difficult for people that could hear well to operate. But they had a lot of difficulty being accepted in the communities. And American Sign Language is a language unto itself that has its own grammar and syntax and is as different from English as Spanish or French. In meeting with Mr. Dennis Lee, who presently teaches American Sign Language for the University of Alaska and has taught American Sign Language for 15 years, we've learned that American Sign Language has evolved greatly in the past decade. Originally, sign language was taught just as a vocabulary. It was not like a foreign language. Today, however, this is no longer true. American Sign Language needs the recognition as an independent language. The National Association of the Deaf is organizing people who teach American Sign Language and is doing a great deal of research to support the teaching of the language. Here in Alaska, the Anchorage Association of Deaf, the NEA, and Carol Witcher, the head of the Louise Rudd Center for the Deaf and Blind, one of the most preeminent teachers of American Sign Language, are all in support of this legislation. Questions have arisen over whether or not students who take American Sign Language as a foreign language will be given credit for the language when they apply to college. Many colleges do accept American Sign Language as a foreign language and teach it as such. California state law essentially recognizes American Sign Language as a foreign language. As in other subjects, students will still want to check with the college of their choice to be sure they are meeting the college acceptance requirements. But as many colleges do accept American Sign Language credit as meeting foreign language requirements, I think that is not a concern that should stop us from making this important recognition. In the testimony before the Senate Hess Committee, the president of NEA noted that there are deaf experts in our Alaskan schools today and that the ability to teach American Sign Language is already present. She testified that many times American Sign Language is taught at odd hours or after school and not for credit. With this legislation, at least the students who make the effort to learn American Sign Language can receive deserved credit for it. There's no fiscal impact with the bill because the system and ability to provide courses in those schools that have it is already in place. Moreover, we are not demanding that local districts teach American Sign Language. We're simply stating if they do, they should give proper credit for it. We do need American Sign Language interpreters. In Alaska, there's a dire need for them. Many of them are strictly volunteers who work for no pay. It is important that we recognize the great service they provide, and hopefully this will get us more interpreters.
Further discussion?
Question.
Hearing no further discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall Senate Bill 420 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Madam Secretary, may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. Thus, Senate Bill 420 is passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, 1 nay, no excused. Next item on the calendar.
This concludes today's calendar.
Unfinished business. Unfinished business. Now, I know you have unfinished business. Announcements. Senator Coghill.
Madam President, upon adjournment, and it looks like we're going to be able to do that very rapidly, you'll have a majority caucus in the Belts Room. It'll be an open caucus. We'll have open items. We'll have scheduling, and we'll have a finance overview.
Further announcements. Senator Duncan.
How did you know I was going to? Thank you.
You were wiggling in your chair.
Oh.
Senator Duncan.
I was going to re-announce that the Billigan Forum is meeting today at noon, and Senator Josephson, who is a member of the Majority Caucus, is going to be speaking on the Democrats' response to economic recovery or whatever. That means that the minority, Senator Rohde and Senator Samaski, could attend that luncheon if they would so desire.
Senator Jones.
Madam President, the Transportation Committee will meet this afternoon at 1:30 in the Belts Room. The agenda is posted.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you. Madam President, at 4:30 there will be a DOT subcommittee on finance, which will go till 6:30.
Senator Sturgeon.
Yes, Community and Regional Affairs at 3:30, Butrovich Room, Senate Bill 424, procurements by state agencies, Senate Bill 426, Redoubt Bay Critical Habitat Area, and HB 244, Ketchmack Bay State Park and Wilderness Park.
Thank you. Further announcements. Senator Coghill?
Madam President, one other item. This evening at 6:30 at the Baranoff, the ALEC group will be meeting. That's the American Legislative Exchange Council. We have the executive director coming in to Juneau for the evening to talk to the group. The ALEC group is made up of private industry people and legislators, and all legislators are invited. We circulated an invitation about a week ago, and we got a fairly good response. We're going to have about 25 of the legislators there, but there's more room. It's a sponsored dinner, so you don't have to pay for dinner, and it's a good program. So I would suggest that all of you senators that can get away at 6:30, that you'd come down. It's going to be worth your while.
Senator Eliason.
The question would be two announcements. One, of course, is that we're going to convene the Senate tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And the Rules Committee meet at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to take up HJR 46, requesting the Federal Aviation Administration to exempt aircraft in Alaska from regulations on the size of aircraft registration numbers and on supplemental identification plates, SJR 65, over-the-horizon scatter backscatter radar systems, HCR 36, 20th Annual Girl State, HCR 37, the 22nd Annual Boy State, HB House Bill 356, authority of the APUC in connection with certain activities of the APA, certain agreements among certain public utilities, and calculating power cost equalization relating to certain meetings between the Alaska Power Authority and public utilities, and Senate Concurrent Resolution 45, encouraging the state to join the Clean Coal Technology Coalition and assisting acceptance of state projects in the Clean Coal Technology Program at 1 o'clock.
Senate stand at ease. Senate will come back to order. Are there additional announcements? Senator Crotula.
On Tuesday, among the bills that we've announced will be Senate Bill 185, Rights of Police Officers, by Senator Rohde, and Senate Joint Resolution 12, International Boundaries, by Senator Ewing. That's next Tuesday, Judiciary. And today will be Senate Bill 211, the torts measures.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. Tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m., Finance will be taking up Senate Bill 415, Special Appropriation to the Alaska Court System, and Senate Bill 401, Administration of State Tax Laws. And we may, if we have a problem with the 10 o'clock session, have to go on. I'll talk to members about possibly meeting in the afternoon if we could to continue 401.
Further announcements. Senator Zara.
Thank you, Madam President. May we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, Senator. The Senate will revert to introduction of guests. Senator Zara.
Yeah, thank you, Madam President. In the far gallery, I see another one of my constituents has come in to join us from the almost the furthest west community that you can get to. That's basically all civilian, the community of Attica. And I want to introduce to you a person there that's in charge of their fisheries program out there, Mark Snigaroff. Mark?
Further announcements. Special orders. Senator Bing.
Thank you very much, Madam President. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to speak on a recent agreement.
Without objection, Senator, you do have the privilege of the floor under special orders.
Thank you very much, Madam President. I just returned yesterday evening from a meeting in Seattle. It was a briefing by Ambassador Wolf on a recent agreement that was signed between the Soviet Union and the United States. By Foreign Minister Shevardnadze and Secretary of State George Shultz, just signed February 22nd. And I know there hasn't been much in the Alaskan press about it, but it certainly does affect Alaska, and I think it's a very significant agreement. What it does, Madam President, for the first time, it allows U.S. fishing industry to obtain access to the Soviet economic zone. That means that our fishermen will now be able to go over within their 200-mile limit and get access to that zone and be able to harvest some of the resources out in that area. We did receive a briefing from Ambassador Wolf. He indicated that there is a tremendous desire on the Soviet Union's part to have this be simply the first step in a much more extensive, possibly even a full-blown treaty between the Soviet Union over equal access and fishing rights between the two countries. And it's very significant. I know Senator Sturgalewski introduced a resolution earlier about closing the donut hole and trying to get joint management of the Bering Sea. The Soviets are interested in this, and I think that this is a first step towards that. It has tremendous implications for the Alaskan economy and the United States economy, billions of dollars of resource out there in that area that right now we're not able to control. If we are able to work with the Soviet Union in joint management of that semi-enclosed sea, the Bering Sea, we have the potential for increasing the management and ultimately increasing the harvest for Alaska fishermen, not only the bottom fish in that area, but also the anadromous species that transit through there, like salmon, and to make sure that those salmon come back to our fishermen. And I appreciate the opportunity to point that out to the body.
Further special orders. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 2nd, 1988.
Without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10 a.m. March 2nd.